You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When you're sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better.
You
need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was? Before I was me, I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, yo, what's up, what's up, what's up? TYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. We got a special show tonight. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I really mean it, because we have a special guest, really good friend of mine, but I'm going to get into that in a minute. First and foremost, I'm going to say, what's up, Harry? How you feeling, baby?
Hey,
ready,
man.
Rock and roll?
I'm feeling great.
Ready
you
to
know.
Get it in?
You know I am. You know
doing
I am.
All
I get
day,
it in
every
where
day.
I can get it in.
That's all you got to know.
Yeah.
You don't got to know nothing else. Nothing else but that.
Yeah, you got a place to put it in? I get it in.
You'll get it in. You'll
fit
it in.
Fit it in.
That was weird. Okay.
Yeah, it got really sexual. I don't know. I think if you keep going with any of these sort of like things, they get sexual.
Yeah,
hey, I'm about it. I'm
about it. People say, word on the streets is that you are about it.
People still say gully anymore? They stopped doing that in 1998.
They don't say gully? I don't know. Ask Ty.
I miss gully.
Let me introduce Ty so he can get in this.
I miss gully.
Yo, this is my man, my motherfucker. One of the funniest dudes in the game. A vet. In the building, Comedy Central, all kinds of shit. Give it up for Top on there, y'all. Give it up.
Yo, what up?
Bizzle in the building, all dizzle.
What's good, man? How y'all been?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. How you?
Can't complain, man. You know, just trying to live in this crazy societies.
We was, me and Top was hanging out at the outdoor spots. During the COVID, you know what I mean? Me, him, and Jackie Fabs.
Yeah, that was the last time we actually hung out.
At first. You came by with your man. I think he was a comic, no?
Yeah, my boy Don Lewis.
Yeah, how long he been doing?
Don been in it, bro. Shit. He's one of those people that's 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I met him when I first came to Los Angeles about maybe 15, 16 years ago. He used to run a room off of Sunset. Uh-huh. And he was one of the first cats that actually gave me stage time when I would come to the city. So, you know, he had a 9-to-5, but would kind of still do comedy. And he retired now, so he's trying to do it full time now.
Yeah, it's too late for that.
I don't know, bro. You know what? It depends on what it is. If you're talking about commercials, well, I mean, let me take all of that. Because if you're talking about being funny, you know this, bro. It ain't no timetable on funny. But if you're talking about playing a certain lane, yes, there may be. None of us are playing the young high school rapper dude. None of us are playing that dude.
What I mean also is when you halfway in, look, I'm one of those few dudes that had a day job the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like I never didn't have my day job, but I also wasn't 1 foot in. I was 2 foot in, 2 foot in, you know, so I just didn't want to live at a certain level of life, you know, like I wasn't going, I didn't want to. I mean, like, how old were you when you started, Ty?
About 27.
So I started.
Dante is the only road act that orders a steak when you go on the road. Goes, I'm a steak, and you know what? And the chicken. How about that?
And then they go, well, that's not on the comedy. I didn't ask you that.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring me my motherfucking steak.
I can afford the steak.
Yeah.
And this but you know what, bro? But you also were still going on the road, though. Like, that's rare for a cat to have a 9-to-5 and still have the time to. I did that early on when I worked at the hospital, but I only could take local gigs. Like, I could only drive a couple hours out.
Yeah.
To, you know what I'm saying? So,
well, okay. So I started in 2000, right?
Okay.
When I was with the phone company, I started in the phone company in 94. So I had 6 years before I started doing comedy, about 7 years before I started doing comedy. So when I started out, I had 3 weeks vacation, right? So, you know, like you made top pay, you would make top pay in 5 years. So I was a year or two in the top pay, and then you had 3 weeks vacation. So 3 weeks vacation is 15 days. So let's say... Yeah. Let's say you went on the road. Say you left out on Thursday at 3 o'clock. You broke out at Thursday at 3 o'clock. You say you had Thursday, because everything, the road gigs was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? So I would take off a Friday and a Monday. So if I didn't get back in time, right? So I would do, you know, I could do, was it 15 days? So I could do 10, 12 dates a year, which a lot of motherfuckers, I don't do 10, 12 dates on the road now or a year.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. I when I used to, like, this is how I kind of got acclimated into Los Angeles, is I used to work at a pharmacy, and I used to have, they called me the king of the shift trades. Like, I would organize that shit to where I had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. I'd fly down to LA. Uh-huh. I mean, but here's the thing, bro. I was laser focused. One, because my kids was young, and I knew I had no time to fuck around. I'm trying to get this thing jumped out. I would land. I would already have a spot, a two spots set up, go to the spot, go do the networking afterward. This is back when I was actually good at pretending that I could like, that I like people. I'm not really good at that shit now.
You're not good at that no more.
I'm not good at that no more. But it was so focused that I would land, do what I got to do, and fly right back and be at the pharmacy Monday morning.
Right.
And so, like, I did that shit for, like, I don't know, four years at least.
Yeah.
And then I had to finally just say, I got to try and do this shit.
Because it really gets to, I mean, it does eat you up. But, I mean, I just want, you know, I didn't want to be without my fur coats and stuff and my gaiters. And so I was like, well, you got to look, either you got to make a decision. You're going to either, you got, or, and the decision was to do it all. Like, I'm going to just do it all. So, I mean.
But you had the energy then, though, right? You had the energy.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I was working out and shit, but I was tired. I mean, I remember asking Patrice to mentor me, and he told me, you know, you probably should talk to somebody like Lewis Black or somebody who started late. He goes, because you're not going to be willing to do what needs to be done at that time, because, you know, there was this whole hierarchy. And, you know, you kind of had to eat shit from, you know, the ground comments up. That was, you know, that was a thing. That shit is all gone now. Cause you can have a little motherfucker that's just got a bunch of Instagram followers, and he's more famous than you are, and a tenth of the funny.
And you know what's bananas about that, bro, is that it'd be one thing if just that person felt that way, if just the Instagram. Because, by the way, I trip out the fact that Instagram comic, YouTube comic, TikTok comic exists, that term exists, because comedy is the only art form that can be hijacked from anybody. Like anybody can hijack. Like, I've never heard of a YouTube actor. Like, I've never heard of a TikTok actor. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the only form. And it'd be one thing if it was just that person feeling that way. But when the bookers do it, it's like, yo, man, you guys are supposed to have more respect for this. I'll tell you something really quick. I was at the HaHa here in LA. Mark Curry goes up. Well, he's getting introduced. And they say, you guys come to the stage, hanging with Mr. Cooper, Mark Curry.
Right.
So that's all you need to say.
Right.
Mark Curry, he had a show on ABC with 5-6. That's Mark Curry. Right. Yeah, so he gets up, does his thing. The next person that comes up, they introduce him. They say, okay, you guys, the next guy coming to the stage has a huge Instagram following, huge YouTube following, and TikTok following. And they introduce whoever it was. I don't know the name. But the kid goes up there, bro, and the first thing he says is, oh, man, so you guys knew who that old guy was? Oh, and he Jesus. Was dead serious, not even joking, not trying to get a laugh, dead serious. And the audience was like, yeah, that's Mr. Cooper. What the Mark Curry? And he's like, oh, so you guys are serious. And so the fact that he had that
mentality. Was he being indignant, though, or was he just naive?
No. He was being indignant, bro. Like
who the fuck are you?
Because again, here's the thing, dude. Even when you start, because it's about the nerve it took for him to say that, really.
Yeah. Without trying to make it a joke or just.
Yeah, how dare you think that you can make a joke at that dude's expense?
Also, I'm sure Mark Curry knows what he's doing still. So I'm sure he did pretty damn well.
Yeah, he still killed, but it's right. Like.
So this kid didn't even recognize that
he killed. How are you going to follow a guy that killed, even if you don't know who they are, and start shitting on that guy?
That's what I said. So it's different times now.
How
but
did that kid do? How did that kid do?
Ty's letting you know how he did. Ty is just, sorry, hold on. Let me make sure people can see.
I just want to put it right there, bro.
You know how he did. Like they all do.
That's.
Hey, there's like one or two guys that know they learned how to do it.
There's a couple of guys who respect the comedy and they want to do well. But man, it just don't happen that way. I mean, I hate to put it that way.
You're not gonna get it from people the same way now just because they don't have to do it. Like we had to do it. Like you had to go through the growing pains of X, Y, and Z to get to a certain point. And it's not, people always act like when people say like, oh man, you jealous. There's no jealousy here because to me, I feel like my skill set was developed because I had to go through that. Your skill set was developed because you had to go through that. So to me, I'm like, yo, you can put me on any stage. I'm gonna do what I gotta do.
Right.
And so I'm grateful for it. I just think it is a fact that when you don't have to do that, really, what do you develop? You know what I'm saying?
Well, here's the thing though. And I mean, to be devil's advocate, there's something to what they do. Like I got a frat brother. He's pretty big on Instagram. They call him, his name is Trav Q.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know if you ever see him. He does. He'll goes to parties. He'll run into rappers. He'll be like, yo, check these bars out. And then he spits their bars to them from their songs. So like he'll have Cameron. He'll be spitting Cameron or like that. And then they go, yo, that's my bars. And it's kind of, you know, but he's also expanding on, you know, these little short form sketches and stuff like that and stuff, but he's actually getting better because there's something to, I mean, he's not being a stand up either, but there's something to, you know, what they do and the fact that they constantly are putting content up. Their first thought is to put content up. I watched one of the internet rappers. And while he was walking on stage, he was filming himself walking on stage. Like, you know, that's such a difficult thing for us because we're trying to get our head together. And now you got to film yourself before you're on stage, while you're on stage, you know, people want to show the crowd. They want to, you know, it's a different thing. But It's funny because Harry, one day we were I don't know where we was at, Ty, and I was spitting some fire in one of these young comics' ear, and Ty pulled up and he was like, "Yeah, you motherfuckers is lucky. You getting that smoke now." And then Ty jumped in and he started embarking wisdom.
Oh, okay. When you say spitting bar, you mean knowledge. You're talking
yeah,
knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. He was.
Because right. I've heard you rap, and I love you to death. But that is, you are amazing at most things.
You
but,
motherfuckers. If I gave him a little more of a fuck about it, I would fucking rap every day until I fucking.
I think he just threw the gauntlet down to you, though, Dante.
They keep coming at me like that. It's just that. I got so much other stuff to do. And I wrote a fat rap. I just don't practice. Fuck you, Harry.
I'm just saying, for the context of the listeners who follow along, I couldn't sit here and go,
Harry got them waiting for your album now. Harry got them waiting for your album now.
You made me come out with my album.
When does it drop? And what roof are you going to drop it off of?
He's mad disrespectful. He's mad disrespectful.
I can't wait for your album it's going to go sheetrock.
Hilarious.
It's going balsa. Balsa triple balsa.
It went balsa wood in Germany. But you were saying, you were spitting some knowledge.
Spitting that fire, giving these kids that good, that shit that you don't get. I almost feel guilty sometimes because I'm giving these motherfuckers knowledge. I'm giving these motherfuckers knowledge that they might not be ready to take. You know, you have to be at a certain level.
You do, but if they want it, it's great because you feel like I want to help you.
Remember what I'm talking about the day?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, and I think I don't know if I said it to you that day, but I remember saying it at some point. I was like, I wish I do it because I want people. I wish some people would have done that for me. Like I have people that did help me, but I also feel like
you had to figure that shit out yourself.
Yeah, there was some stuff where you just like, oh shit, I should have known this. Like having to follow, you know, somebody like that has a lot of heat. And you notice, bro.
Yeah,
y'all notice. There's a difference between having to follow somebody's material or somebody's energy.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a huge. I'd rather follow somebody's material. Yeah. Follow their energy. You know what I'm saying? I remember I had to follow Dane Cook when he was the height of being Dane Cook.
Yeah.
And bro, when I tell you that experience fucking horrible, bro. Like it was one of them things where it was at the what the fuck is his name? Dublin's. It was at Dublin's, and he was like the king of Dublin's, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you in the joke, now in my defense, I'm not saying it's just for the thing. In my defense, these jokes I was telling were time tested, solid jokes.
Right.
Not new. But the energy I went up there with,
yeah,
is not the same energy. And when I tell you the set did not go well,
Dane used to rip.
Yeah.
Like people talk to him, talk about him like he wasn't a fucking killer. Or that it was all hype. And I'm like, y'all motherfuckers don't know that motherfucker. Dane was, oof.
Bro, it would be wrong. So that's why I said I'd rather follow somebody who has material that is really good material. Mm. And I'm like, okay, then that means my penmanship has to be on point too. But if you jumping around on stage and shit, and you know, you walk around
with ain't saying shit.
Yeah, I, what the fuck is that? You know, so
yeah.
I like to tell these new comics, I'm like, look, man, first of all, do you know you, but also be a student of the game. You have to. Like, you can't, hey, man, I don't know anybody, Jordan included, who just came in the game and was great. Jordan didn't come in just being Jordan.
He got cut from the team and freshman year. Nobody is good at it. I say that on stage now. I go, ladies, if you got a guy and he's great at sex, it's because he fucked a lot of people. That's why he got good. I go, but know that he did it for you.
He was in training,
he did it all for you, so he knows how to munch on your box.
I'm trying to get you these benefits, girl.
I'm trying to be a better man for you. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I did. You know, I do the relationship consulting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was doing the consulting, and so this cat called me up. He's telling me about he's married, but his wife just doesn't want to have sex. Like, she's just not sexual. She's not a sexual person. She loves she likes the companionship. She likes being married, but she's just not a sexual person. And so he's asking me, well, what do I think? And I go, well, and I was saying, anybody who I think, any woman who gets married, wants to be married, wants to be in a good marriage,
right,
fucking is part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think. I don't know what you thought that this was gonna be a portion of it. And if you don't, and I say this all the time, if you're not fucking somebody else will. Like,
yeah.
a guy will let a girl cut his dick off any day of the week. He'll just find somebody else to pin it back on. You know, so you can fuck around if you want to.
Well, actually, didn't that happen to the Bobbit dude?
He did. Well, he got it cut off for real. But so this dude was telling me, he was like, I told my wife that I think I want an open marriage or something. So she don't want to have sex at all, right? And I said, well, you got to be honest. I go, look, you could talk about this open marriage thing if you want to. I said, but you're really just preparing for you to break up.
For the end.
I think in some cases you can do that and it becomes open. But even Harry did a lot of freaky open shit.
Yeah.
But it has a shelf life though.
It has somewhat of a shelf life, but also that can't be the last resort. That's got to be something you're into kind of either up front or
that's a good point too.
You can't use that as a last resort. Like, there's no marriage that or relationship that was monogamous
and then it goes
goes into open and that then it doesn't
I mean
end
I know
well.
Some that have, but we're talking about like older 50 year old motherfucker, you know.
Couple things. One, the when you see older couples, like, I'm sure my grandparents don't fuck anymore. Like, I'm sure. Like, that's not happening. My granddad is like 90.
So you go in there early one day and your granddad is standing there with a cane and his dick out.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, like, touche, granddad.
And his balls in his sock, hanging in his sock.
He had them in a barrel. But I think that, yes, it's always a part, because it's all really about attraction. That attraction has to still be there. It may not be 2-3 times a week. You know, it may not be that, but it's still going to be that attraction there. But I also am a big supporter of that as long as that love is there, the rest of the stuff can be worked around. Everything. The rest of the stuff can be worked around. But the physical has to be a part of that relationship. Again, like I said, unless you get to an age where both of y'all are like, come on, we good. Let's just the open relationship thing. I read this thing the other day where they said, Will Smith came out and said that him and Jada are, they established early on that it wasn't going to be monogamous. And I'm like, I get it. If you start that way.
Right.
If you, like you said, Harry, if you start that way.
Yeah.
Then it's already known. Then you're used to it. You can see it happening. She can see it happening. There's no issue. But if it's
she can also say, if it's not comfortable, she can also go, I don't like this. You know what I mean?
But that's got to be something that you say, yo, we say this shit like from the first hug, from the first kiss. Like, you good? I'm gonna touch your nipple. You cool with me touching this nipple? Like, it has to be that. If you ain't doing that, you can't wait till it's done and then be like, well, I wasn't cool with that. Well, shit, you already fucked with somebody. Now it's already happened. I just think that it takes a strong person to be able to do that. And I don't think everybody is that level of strong.
I think they are, but
they're not.
Yeah, you also have to not be a jealous person. You have to be able to put your ego aside And you have to have the confidence in yourself that you're not going to lose that person. Yeah. Like that no one's going to steal that person away from you. You have to be confident enough in what you do in the relationship to know that, like, even if somebody else comes in and tries, they're not going to beat your time.
I also see a lot of times you have guys who will say they want this, and simply because their partner, like, they were very adamant about that this is what they wanted, they got it and then never exercised it. Like for instance, Harry's girl would, like, that's how they went in. But then Harry really, like, she's just, his chick is so dope. Like, he don't really have a reason. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's almost like, why am I fuck with some whack ass bitch? Just gonna, look, here's a funny thing. One of the fans of the show, I tutored him. Like, he went through a divorce and he was like 53. His wife asked him for the divorce and I guided him through the whole thing. Right. And then I took him, like, he had never been, like, he had married his high school sweetheart. He had built her the house that she wanted to live in. And it was, you know, but he was, you know, he was also like old school where his father was like, oh, you got kids with her, you know, make her an honest woman. And then
yeah, all that, other, all that horseshit that you don't have to do that other people have to do.
Yeah, she basically took it all for granted. She wasn't, and then she was like, I want a divorce. And he called me up and asked me, they went to therapy, couples therapy. And he was like, she's like, well, I want a divorce. So I was like, why are we paying $125 a session so you could tell me you had no, but I mean, I think she was just bluffing. And he asked me what should I do? And I told him to give her the divorce. And so 2 days later, they was at dinner, the doorbell rang and the paper server came in and then she freaked out. How the fuck you could do this to me? He goes, this is what you said you wanted. This is what you wanted. She go, I just said it once well, then you shouldn't have said it. Like, the thing is, you make these statements and sometimes, and you can't really come back. Like, I'm a funny dude in that there's certain things that you say. Even if you say I was just kidding, I'm still like, this came from a place of honesty. And like, how do we go back from that? How do we get back from that?
Let me tell you one thing, just like you can't yell fire. Even if you're just playing, like, you yell at once, like, oh shit, wait, where the fuck is it? Wait, it was no fucking fire? You can go to jail for that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing when you, like, and right as you were saying it, I was thinking about, okay, prime example. My boy was ready to marry this chick. And Don. He was getting ready to marry this chick, got her pregnant and all that. And he was going to do the right thing. They hadn't been together that long, but, you know, Don is a righteous dude like that. He's like, you know what? You're pregnant, you know, and I want to be with you. Here we go.
Let's do this.
So he gets a ring and all that. Now, this girl had said that she's used to being a side chick in these other relationships. So she wasn't even, you know, so
trying to get that.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like weird for her that somebody wanted this, but she was not used to being the main chick. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to, I don't know, one night, you know, he's unable to be reached, and it legit, he's not fucking around because he actually wants to be with this chick. So he wasn't fucking around, but she couldn't get a hold of him. She writes this dude, all right, this is how you want to be, whatever, whatever. That's cool. Don't even have to get in touch with me. I ended up just fucking some nigga anyway.
Oh boy.
Now, did she or no?
Now, here's the thing.
He'll never know.
Exactly. One, yeah, he'll never know. But to what you just said, Dante, why would you even say that?
Yeah.
Why would you even put those words out there if you didn't? Because then later she tried to take it back and say, oh, I was just saying something in the heat of the moment. No, you can't take that back.
Right.
What? The fact that you would even want to say that to me if it was false.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So once she put those words out there, for him, he was like, I don't know whether she did it or not. I don't know. But like I told him, I said, bro, yeah, we don't know whether she did it or not, I said, but it's something deeper about the fact that she even thought that that would be something to say to you.
Yeah.
And think that it would be okay after that.
Well, you know, me, I talk about this all the time. I've never heard the terminology a woman of her word. Like, nobody ever says she's a woman of her word, because mm-hmm. the expectations is never there for her to be accountable for what comes out of it. Go ahead, Harry, you wanted to say something?
No, I'd just say, like, I don't disagree with you, but what do you say to I always try to think of the counter argument, because there's always a counter argument to that. Like, oh, like, men are always That's keeping their word. Me. No, I love you. I just hate your freestyling. Your freestyling is hate personified.
Watch, you gonna make me be Dave motherfucking East. You're gonna be calling me Raekwon the Chef.
By the end of this episode, bro, you will have 3 songs written.
Listen, I'm worried if you want to physically attack me, certainly I'm worried. But if it's verbal, as far as like spitting bars, I mean, I'm not exactly scared. As long as we keep it to those parameters.
Man, he is poking the bear, bro.
He is really. Call Rakim up.
Hilarious.
Rakim, I know, but I don't. Anyway. So, no, my point is, what do you say to somebody who goes, well, oh, men aren't exactly known for keeping their word all the time, blah, blah, blah. Like, men aren't always honest. There's plenty of guys.
That is absolutely true. I know a lot of dudes that are not.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, conceptually,
yeah.
The term man of his word is something that people say. Nobody says she's a woman of his word, which I'm saying the expectation is different. Look, I don't know a lot of guys that are righteous dudes. It's like, even when you said about your boy Don, it's almost like you have to make a distinction about the fact that he is a righteous dude. But you only have to say he's a righteous dude because there's a lot of dudes who ain't righteous, you know. So we make that distinction. I always say, when I have my son, everybody would go, "Oh my God, your son is objectively handsome," and I was like, "You've been telling a lot of ugly babies that they look good. That's why you think that you need to make the distinction about the fact, because you've been lying to ugly babies your whole life." So it when you make that statement, it's because there's a rarity of it. So what I'm saying, Harry, is that I'm not saying that there are not women who are women of their word. I'm just right. saying, as a terminology, the expectation of a man to be of his word is something that is ever present. And yeah. the fact that the sidebar of a woman not being a woman of her word, not a woman allowed to be fickle and you know, flexible, if you will, is allowed because, oh, she's emotional, she's this. I mean, how many times have we had guys on this show and be like, "Oh yeah, my girl, she's a hot Latina." I go, I don't give
That's
a fuck.
That's not an excuse.
She's a crazy redhead. That all of that is an excuse for her being a cunt. That's why you somehow, because she has red hair, it's okay for her to be a cunt, or because she's Latino, she has no control. She has control because you demand a level of control. And if you don't demand a level of control, she could be a hot Mormon who doesn't know how to be respectful. If you don't set those boundaries, you don't get those boundaries back.
No. But let me ask you, so with this guy, how long have they been married?
They were married 15 years.
God damn. And see, now that's what's tough about it, because you feel like, for him, he's like, "Look, this is what you said you wanted. I'm giving you this." For her to even think that that's something to play with, like, what shifted? What shifted in our relationship to where you think that you
nothing shifted? I think what happened was he never really held her accountable in the first place.
See, and that's where you. I'm a firm believer in you. When it's an equal partnership, I believe in that 1,000%.
I don't believe that, but go ahead. We go ahead. Continue.
I knew this was coming, but when I say equal, I mean that. Look. I am here to love you just like I expect you to love me. There are certain things that I'm supposed to do as a man that are probably things that, you know, just fall under what it is as a man. Well,
but this is my thing. As a man, your ability to provide and keep her safe is attached to your the definition of manhood.
Right.
Where that is not, I mean, you don't expect your woman to keep you safe. There's other things that you expect of her or that you want from her. But what I'm saying, it doesn't matter whether she exists in your life or not. You are not, you being a man of your word, you having integrity, you having being authentic, you being a guy who is willing to protect and all of that. Those, that is attached to how we perceive a man. Right. The standards of what we perceive of a woman is what? And let's be honest, with the movement of equality, feminism and equality, women a lot of times don't feel as they have to do nothing, just show up. My first wife just thought she had to not sleep with nobody else.
No.
Like she didn't think it was any other responsibility was for her to just be faithful. And you know, probably one of the most selfish person I've ever met in my life, but the understanding of like, what are you expected to do? I mean, if you think about it nowadays, what do you expect? If you have a good man and he provides and protects and he keeps you safe and he teaches you and he motivates you, what do we say that a woman is supposed to do? Nothing. There's no standard of that unless you set that standard yourself.
And that's what has to happen. Like it has to, in like I said, there are certain things that fall under, I'm a man, this is what I expect. This is my definition of what I think a man is versus this is our specific situation. This is our specific relationship. This is what we should do because, you know, we were actually talking about this the other night. When your relationship is dictated by what other people think it should be, that's when it becomes a problem. Because other people will always say, well, why ain't y'all doing this by this time? Or why y'all ain't doing this by this time? Or he ain't doing this yet? Or, you know, and that's when a lot of
and most of the time they're not doing any of it. Half the time, the people who are saying that aren't even in a relationship.
Exactly. So once you realize that it has to be whatever you two set up specifically, then that's great. I'll tell you, years ago, this is, I don't know, probably like 15, 20 years ago, something like that. I was still in the Northwest kind of, like I was just not getting to Los Angeles kind of, but there was a show promoter and the book and man, like I gave him all the stuff to promote the show, everything, posters, all the shit. And he didn't promote the show well. He picked a venue that was a shitty venue. So it was a lot of shit that didn't go right. And so I show up to the venue, it's practically empty. It's fucking horrible. And I'll never forget this, bro, because it was one of the weirdest things I'd ever heard somebody, a booker, say. He said, man, I'm so sorry, Ty. I'm so sorry. I mean, I don't know how to make this up to you. I mean, I'll try to get you some money. I mean, if you want to, you know, have a night with my wife, that'll work. I mean, you know, and I'm like,
Jesus.
And dude, and like, it, I mean,
how was
like,
it? It how was like, his wife?
Yeah, I mean, how was she?
Oh, she was attractive. She was, believe me, it wasn't
this
like
this is how they got down. I guess that's how they got down.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? And because it wasn't like, and I hate saying this, but it wasn't like she was unattractive. And I'm like, motherfucker, please. It was like, okay. Did I hear that right? But the thought in my head, I mean, it didn't happen, of course, but the thought in my head was,
you silly sausage.
It was, I'm like, wait, so that was, so the fact that you even thought that would be a thing, really? And there
must have happened before.
See, that's what I'm saying. But now his name, my first thought was, what kind of bullshit is that? But then the second thought was, damn, maybe they have it like that to where they're that confident in their relationship.
My thought would be, which ones said yes? Like, which ones on the road?
I honestly think he proposed that to her and was like, you know,
she was kind of on it. She was like, oh, he's cute.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was one of them where she was like,
but they had already talked about it where it was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So whereas I think a lot of people don't understand, like that takes a lot of level. It takes a huge level of confidence in your relationship, but it also, you know, I'm a visual person. And you know, this as comedians, that's what we visualize. Even if we're, here's the joke, I got to picture the person doing this. So if that visual is in your head, how do you, like, I don't know if you've ever seen this. There's a meme out there, like, there's a lot of, it's this chick, she's, it's a close-up of her, right? Like, her face is really close to the thing, and she's getting, you can tell she's getting fucked. Like, it's just like this. She's making that face and all that.
Right.
And the meme, it says, hey, fellas, before you forgive your girl for cheating, just remember, she was making this face with the dude that she was with.
Right.
And I was just sitting there thinking, that's a goddamn deep ass meme. You got to think that person did enjoy that for that moment. And again, it's nothing, if you have it established, good for you.
Yeah, but okay, let's be honest with that, even with that. Like, have you never cheated on anybody, Ty?
No, I'm telling you, honestly.
Never.
I was a cheater.
Okay.
I was a cheater, yeah.
Okay. So here's my thing. And I'm not somebody who goes, well, you know, I'm not going to go what's good for the goose, what's good for the gander. I mean, I get that. But, in the context of what I'm what I will say is this. This is something that I've learned from a level of maturity is that if a guy, there's some kind of infidelity, right? I think the question that needs to be asked is, is the constitution of this woman a cheater? Or were there circumstances that led to this that maybe were not normal circumstances? So what I'm saying is, if you say I was a cheater, right? And right. Somebody, you cheat on somebody and then she's offended because you're a cheater, right? And she says, well, this is just not the type of man that I want. I understand that. But there's also situations where people are not necessarily cheaters, the constitution and up, but based on the situation lent itself to people acting out of character. You know what I mean? I think that's a distinct difference. I'm not saying that there's not a trust issue that you don't have to delve into the idea of how to build that trust or some, but I think you got to ask if somebody is, what is the constitution of people? It's just like anything else. When you find out somebody has been, we find out some celebrity's been touching kids, it's never one kid.
Right.
There's a slew of kids. They've been doing this. This is what they do. And so one of the things about in stripping and pimping and all the shit that I was into, you'd be surprised what people are willing to do in the context of certain standards, practices, and culture. They will act grossly different out of character. And I think, don't we, you know, in our own fallibility, don't we consider that in terms of the, you know, whatever the incident?
I think we do. Of course, it's always something to be considered, but I feel like, okay. I used to always rationalize the cheating. I always did. Like, whatever it was.
What
it
was the rationalization? Sense. Like, what? Give me an example.
When I was younger, it was just that I was young, and when am I ever going to have this opportunity again? Then in relationships like with the mother of my children, it was like she put me in a position that I didn't ask to be put in. She lied about this or whatever. It was always a reason to do something.
And other than I want to do this.
Oh, that was always part of it.
But I'm saying you didn't come to it like, yo, this is what I do. This is what I want. I like women. I want to.
Oh, that was always the thing, but that was always part of the thing, but it was.
Yeah, I mean, that is the reason why. It is, but
understand this. This is what I mean by saying. So then I took a year and a half, actually a few years, and I was with nobody. I was with absolutely nobody. I didn't want any relationships. And I was mad straight up about this. I would tell anybody I was even getting closer. I said, listen, if you want to be physical, we can be physical. But I'm telling you, I don't want anything other than this. I'm not looking for no relationship, no nothing. And I was like that for a while, bro. And it was
Now, let me ask you this. When you said that, did they ever not get physical? They always got physical.
That was it. That was it. But that time that I took to not be with anybody is when I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So it was me. The main issue was me. But I also didn't realize what I wanted, when I wanted it and all that. So I never took that time. That was the first time in my entire life, bro, that I took the time to figure out me and everything. And once I did that, it just made it easier to have relationships after that. It made it easier to give my heart to somebody after that, because it was like, oh, okay, now I know exactly what I want. And here's the important part for me. I was no longer doing anything because somebody else wanted me to do it. I'm not doing any of that. I'm not getting in no relationship. I'm not moving in with nobody. I'm not doing none of that shit. Nothing. I'm not getting married. I'm not doing anything.
Do you understand where that comes from, though?
Well, you said that.
I mean, do you really understand? I mean, because I've deal with this. I deal with that situation with dudes all the time. Dudes do what they do because they don't think they're worthy of what they want. So, for instance, a guy will not have options, right? And then I'll start him on like the man school. I have like a online school that I'm working on right now but I usually, when guys call me up and they do one-on-one consultations, I put them through the stages of it.
All right.
And then 99% of the time they end up having threesomes or doing some freak shit or having multiple chicks or whatever, right? But then after that happens, then guys will get to a point where they go, wow, I'm doing this because it's kind of like what you're saying, because this is what I'm supposed to want as a man. I'm supposed to want to be promiscuous, have multiple girls.
Or sometimes you just want to, you go, I better take advantage of this. Like, I mean, am I ever going to do this again?
Because it seems like an opportunity.
This is amazing. Yeah.
But it's not an opportunity. You see, when you realize that, when you realize that you deserve what you want, you get what you want. So I think what struck me is you took all this time to just say, I'm going to be, really all you did was you were honest.
Yeah.
So you were honest for whatever time. And then what you understand is the honesty itself is what gives your words power. See, like the power comes, like, what is the power of words? The power of words is that when you say them, people believe them.
Right.
That's the power of words. If you lie, if you use words indiscreet, if you talk too much, you weaken the words because the words don't have a price. It's not tied to an intent. It's not contextual to an action. So the reason why words have power is because there's truth, credibility, and action behind it. So I give you an example. Anybody knows me from back in the days, anybody knows me, if I tell somebody, when I see that motherfucker, I'm gonna punch him in his mouth. Harry's been friends with me long time. How long, man? How many years? 20 years now?
We've known each 18? Other for 20, yeah, 20 years.
So if I tell you that's happening, right?
Yeah, that's happening.
Then what is your take on that? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
So go ahead, Harry.
No, it's happening.
It's like going down.
It's going to go down.
And it's not going to be when I see you, we're going to chat about it.
No, it's happening.
I'm not sending you a letter. I'm not going to remember when you said that up. When I see you, I'm walking up and I'm smashing you in the mouth. Now, to the same token, if my thought process is not to go there, I won't say that.
You're not going to do it. You're not going
to
say it.
I won't even say it, because the importance of my words is I was saying this to somebody the other day, how fucking amazing it is for your words to have importance, that they mean something. The only reason why they mean something is because there's this action and intent and truth behind it. So what you went through this period where you just chilled and you was like, all you did was just tell the truth. that your words meant something, and then behind the words that you meant, whatever you said was so. So it didn't matter how much she, how great she sucked your dick or how she fucked you or whatever, you still was like, this is it. And so if she goes, well, I really like you, and you go, yeah, I understand that, but I told you up front, this is where I'm at, and I totally get if you want to leave, but this does not change. It hasn't changed in me. And you know what? They don't never leave then either.
But then see, now this is why I say when you have people that are have been married 15 plus 20 plus years and all that, when that person said, I want a divorce, that's pretty harsh to say. Yeah. It's a hard thing to tell somebody you've been with 15 years, especially there in that office. I can see if you were saying it on some bullshit, now watching TV and you joking about it, but you said it in that place. So it's just weird that she would be surprised that.
Well, it's because she didn't respect him. There was no respect. So I'll give you an example of what happened. The first time, and this is, Harry, this is Cinnabon. First time he called me and asked me for help. He said, look, I go on vacations. Every time I go on vacation, he goes, my wife, she's never ready. I'm always rushing. We're always rushing through the thing. I'm yelling and screaming, dragging the bags. She's fighting with me. And I'm trying to get on, because I don't want to get the plane left. And I said to him, the next time she wants to fight you to be on time, then let her do what she wants to do. So the reason why we call him Cinnabon was, she goes, they were like just there, just in it. She was like, I'm hungry. He goes, well, you want to get something? Well, I want to go to Cinnabon. So she goes to Cinnabon. She gets the hot Cinnabon, whatever. They go to the gate. When they get to the gate, she goes, wow, this is going to be an empty flight. And he goes, no, it's not going to be an empty flight. The flight already left. And she's like, what? Right? Now, what I told him to do is to go home, and then you sit and look at each other for 7 days. And he goes, well, I had bought the flight, and he had a limo that was supposed to pick them up it was just them, because the kids were staying with the grandmother. He was like, I had a limo to pick us up, and we had the honeymoon suite and this and that. And he goes, I go, well, this is what I do. I go, I go home, and I go, we're going home now. Now we're not going anywhere. He goes, but I had spent almost $1,000 in the tickets. I didn't want to blow the tickets. I said, yeah, but you get ready to spend, you're going to blow $5,000. If you rebook the flight, get there early, this, that, the other, the vacation is gonna cost more than the money that you blow by not going and sitting home. I go, but you have to understand something. If you really don't want to be treated that way, then there has to be an action behind it. If I have to book this and paid for this, and she was a stay-at-home wife, so he was the only breadwinner. I've done all this, booked a limo, honeymoon suite. Now we got to rebook. We got to stay at a different hotel for 2 days until the honeymoon suite opens back up. And then we got to move our shit from that to this and da, 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 on and on. I go, how much better is that instead of that, you going through that. And every step of the way that you have to adjust, you're angry because you have to do all this, because she didn't even respect you enough to fucking be ready to go to make the flight. What's worse, or what is it better to just sit the fuck home? I'm not going. Or give her ticket and say, look, you can go if you want. I'm not going. Yeah. So the actions behind words are really what gives it power, but it also makes it real sexy. Like, that is the most it's sexier than a six pack, 22 inch arms, because you're a guy who says what he means and means what he says. And when you say what you mean what you say. A woman can feel safe with you because that means if you say, I got your back, that you mean it. Yeah. But if you're frivolous about the truth, when you say, here's the thing, I always say this, if you bend your rules to accommodate her, even though she benefits from the bending of your rules, you still a nigga that bent his rules. You still a nigga that's not a man of his word, which means she has to consider that as well when you tell her you're going to do something, or when you tell her you love her, when you tell her you got your back, when you tell her those things, or none of those things matter because she doesn't know if it's the truth.
Or she thinks that at some point it can all be adjusted.
Yeah.
At some point it can all be adjusted.
Because and that's only because you've adjusted it. So you've gone back on your word.
So you've shown her that you're willing to adjust it.
Yep. And
you know,
but this is why a lot of people, you know, I don't, the idea of marriage to me trips me out just because I get why people do it, and I love being married. I just think that when people do it and they make that commitment to somebody and they say, well, this is who I want to be with, it's huge. A lot of people don't think that it's huge. I think a lot of people think that it's just...
It's because culturally, it's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But when you find somebody that you say, well, okay, this is who I want to be with, it's the difference between giving your heart to somebody and just saying, okay, fine, here. Those are two different things. And when people don't realize those two, the differences, that's why I say things are harder. Even though that guy was willing to say, hey, do you want a night with my wife? Where it sounded crazy as fuck to me, to him, he's like, ah, man, you know, it's fine. She's coming home with me anyway. And right. It's cool. And I'm like, you know, where I couldn't even wrap my, couldn't even wrap my brain around that. But that's why I say, in some senses, his marriage is strong as fuck. You could look at it and say that because it's like, where some people were like, what? You letting somebody else smash your wife?
Yeah.
And so it's all in, because at some point they committed to each other and said, there is nobody.
Nothing that could happen that would separate us.
Not a single thing. Yeah. So.
Yo, we gonna do something behind the Patreon. Plug your Instagram, whatever you want to plug, real quick, and then we're gonna take the rest of this conversation behind the paywall. Ty.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want to plug?
Oh, comedianTyBarnett.com is the website. I have a podcast called Critical in Thinking. We broadcast every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific time. There's a special on Dry Bar. There's a couple other things.
What kind of podcast is it?
It's it's political, social topics. What else? A little bit of everything, but mostly political and social topics, really.
Dope. Yeah, so. Dope. All right. Harry?
You can go to all my stuff is at Harry Turjanian.
Me, Dante Nero. You know how to Google me. You'll know how to get me. GYBB, get your balls back. Hey, don't forget, I still do the one-on-one consultations. Go to DanteNero.com, click on consult. And don't forget to sign up for the Patreon. The Patreon helps us continue to do this. So if you like what we're doing, please support us. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. Yo, I love y'all, man. Check us on the Patreon, the paywall, behind the paywall. Hit us up. Love y'all. We're out.